proposals to get funding through Indigenous Services Canada to fund some of the things that I want to do with the emergency management department out there.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of, most reserves in BC, northern BC, are fairly small too. So when you're relying on volunteers to fill boots at the fire department or fill these roles within emergency management, like the emergency ESS program.
Yeah.
We're looking for volunteers for that. But when your population is small, you don't have a ton of volunteers. So it's hard to get people.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you to WITSET Emergency Program Coordinator Chris Turner and paramedic and educator Matt Anderson for speaking with me about WITSET's emergency response plans for the future. And that's this week's episode of The Scoop, a podcast and broadcast featuring stories from remote BC by the journalists in the communities of Smithers, Cortez Island, Revelstoke, Kootenay, Prince George, and Terrace. This program was made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Local Journalism Initiative Program. Tune in next week for another episode and follow us online wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day. You're listening to Free City Radio. This is edition 275, and I'm Stefan Christoph. Thanks for tuning in. On the program this week, I am going to be highlighting really interesting projects based in Mexico City, but also doing work in other spaces in Mexico and internationally called Cocina Colaboratorio. This project connects chefs, artists, farmers, and scientists. Very broad, but I think mostly what is important to underline in light of an introduction is that this project goes out into the community in Mexico City where they create spaces. People gather to think critically about food systems, to think about community, and think about the origins of the food that we eat. Of course, the context of Mexico and Latin America more generally, you have a strong and sustaining presence of indigenous food systems, intricate frameworks of interdependence between different types of plants grown in traditional indigenous food production called milpa. We'll learn more about this in the interview. And how does that intersect with the contemporary landscape of urban life in Mexico City? There are many projects that look at that intersection, and I think it's always meaningful to hear what an alternative artistic take on food systems can be in a context like Mexico City. So I was really happy to highlight and lift up Cocina Colaboratorio, the collective kitchen project in Mexico City. And here is my conversation.
I'm working on creating spaces for exchange around the kitchen, basically around food. But I think the work that I do goes probably beyond that. Well, I'm a spatial designer to start with. I studied architecture and then I did a master's in something called narrative environments. So how to add narrative into the construction of space. And I think I got really interested in that because I was mainly interested in the relationship we have with space through identity, through culture, and also through an engagement to our material environment that goes beyond us being just a user of cities or the places that we live in, no? So that was probably the point where I start this project or these processes, no? How can we create spaces to engage with our reality, to create the spaces that we want to live in? And how does that impact also in the ways we manage, let's say, resources or in this sense, food, no? How can we also create more sovereignty within the places that we live in? So that's how I started a few projects many years ago while I was living in the Netherlands. I was working for a cultural organization that creates projects specifically looking at the relationship between art, nature, culture, and agriculture. And that was like the first moment where I was doing something, especially with food and like urban grown food. And then I went off to working with a collective that were doing projects in public space from a very interesting perspective, which was kind of combining urbanism, participatory art practices, activism, to kind of regain spaces from within the city to create more spaces for commoning, no? Especially commoning through urban gardens, commoning through common kitchens, commoning through also shared spaces for local economies to happen, no? Like I don't know, we did a little shop under a tunnel that was kind of like a one-day shop that people could use. Like every day there was a different owner of this shop selling or offering a certain service. And like that, they could also enter some sort of like, yeah, exactly, like a local economy or an economy of exchange as well, no? Very much in the spirit of repair cafes and, you know, secondhand shops and so on. And then I started doing a lot of projects also around food because, food is something that we will need to change our relationship to food in a very, in a radical way, no? If we want to also rethink how we are living within this capitalistic society. And actually, the first projects that I did about food were looking into the circularity of food waste within urban neighborhoods, and how to, let's say, implement alternatives to how to deal with waste, but not from a technocratic perspective only, rather than creating spaces so that people can organize more autonomously to delving with their food and their food waste and the circularity of food. And that these spaces also have a kind of a cultural appropriation element that is not only a technology that is being kind of placed in a specific place, but that doesn't have anything is the cultural or identitarian around it, and therefore it's kind of hard to also integrate it into our daily lives, no? So the first project about food was a project I participated with this collective called Cascoland, and we made a bread digester. It's like a bakery, which was a center for bringing the waste bread in, having like a biodigester, making gas out of this bread, cooking on this gas, new bread, and creating like a community bakery that, you know, allowed also for different exchanges of people and cultures, and of course of food and histories of the people that were living in this neighborhood, which was like a very diverse neighborhood. And then kind of based on that, I started to realize really the potential of cooking, eating together, you know, sharing stories to create a common ground between different people from different perspectives with different backgrounds, no? And then that can help to create or consolidate, let's say, communities for them and us to take action towards the things that are surrounding us, no? So So after that, we started discussing the project that now I'm collaborating with, which is called Cocina Colaboratorio, or Collaboratory Kitchen, which is a project that started in 2018. And we started it with this intention of creating a space where farmers, scientists, cooks, artists, agroecologists, and all kinds of people that have a sort of relationship to food and want to find, let's say, alternatives to how our food systems work, that they could come together and, you know, exchange concerns and knowledge and also try to find new pathways. So we started this pilot in 2018 in Mexico, in Chiapas, in a rainforest area. And basically the idea was that, to bring the kitchen, o sea, kitchen tables, kitchenware, fogones, no, fire, and get people from different backgrounds to cook together and to eat together. And then from there, you know, see what happens and what kind of conversations are sparking by the way that we are cooking and the different ingredients that we're cooking and the stories behind those ingredients. And how this kind of just simple action can be a seed for, you know, a future collaboration or a better understanding, no? I think specifically in this context, what we wanted to create was, you know, a relational tool, a common ground for people with different perspectives, also especially thinking about how, because we are collaborating with scientists, no? We're collaborating with scientists, we're collaborating with farmers. How sometimes within, like, this colonial, like a colonial way of producing knowledge or giving also more validation to certain types of knowledges, we wanted to create a tool that will allow for a more horizontal kind of conversation rather than, you know, creating a seminar on, like, why food systems and why this and that, no? Or, like, why landscape restoration? So specifically, departing from the point of, I am a person with a story that eats this specific thing. So what I eat is also a concern to you and back and forward, no? It's not, we're having a conversation as humans, not per se as people that have an experience, no?
Well, yeah. I think often the spaces within which food is produced, whether it's going to the point of agriculture, but also in terms of city landscapes of how food is shared, there's a lot of elements that are missing from the story. In terms of the food production and all the class dynamics that are involved, Cocina Colaboratorio, I think, is interesting in deconstructing all those layers and thinking about the whole process, right? I think that often, even within progressive spaces, you know, there's, let's say, you know, company A is hired to do, catering for a gathering about social justice, but there's not a lot of thinking that goes into the people that have produced the food at the origin point, but also have produced the food literally in making the meals. So I think maybe one thing to sort of underline in terms of your project of the social and political space around food, when we can sort of look at Cocina Colaboratorio as sort of a space through which social movement relations are built, can you talk about that, the construction of social movement relations, and why thinking about all the layers of food production and distribution when we are acting within social movements is important?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, So exactly what I was saying before, no, the intention of creating these spaces for people to cook and eat together specific also ingredients that come from a specific land, no, that have been produced in certain ways, that are maybe also wild foods, no, I think works in many ways, no? I think one is, of course, understanding the different origins of the food, how it is produced, who is producing it, who is involved in the process of production, human and non-human as well, no? Taking into account the soils, taking into account the biodiversity that goes around agriculture, and also reflecting on what has been broken, no? Through the way that agriculture works today, no? That through the use of pesticides, the use of toxics, how has that managed to break also a relationship to food that has been built for many, many years, no? Within different territories that are being that breaks somehow the relationship between people and their food, which ultimately is a relationship between people and nature, actually, and people and plants and the relation and the management that they give to a land. So in one way, that's really interesting because already talking about that is quite political. No, what has been replaced by colonial diets? What has been replaced by big scale agriculture? No, what has been replaced by different markets or by trades treaties? Like for example, the NAFTA treaty in Mexico. Like how has our diets been changed through time, and what has been erased? Can we recover that? No? And so while we eat, while we cook, we also create a conversation about that and also source the materials and also kind of dream together. And that creates the social movement, basically, no? Its consistency is being there. It is sharing. It is also creating this infrastructure of care and reciprocity with others. And therefore, there is little by little, you know, a collective agency being formed or being strengthened, no? Because maybe it's already there, but maybe you just need a space to actually engage and see each other and experiment and dream about something and plan how to you're going to action whatever you want to put in action, no? And I think that has been quite interesting in the project because we really we want to start to make some changes in how the food system works. There is alternatives, no? There is alternatives to distribution to, o sea, from the production, no? If you're treating the soil in certain ways, if you're using water in certain ways, what are you also promoting in an agricultural plot? How is that, you know, bringing back biodiversity or not? How you're going to manage waste, how you're going to cook the recipes that are going to be more biodiverse or more specific to a place or, you know, using the agrobiodiversity of a specific place as well. So there's all these steps, of course, and all these little actions that can be done throughout the food system and the food chain, let's say. But what we're going to do and how we're going to action that is being discussed constantly. No, it's not about knowing, oh, you know, we have a solution and we're going to implement it. No, it's about actually creating that social movement, as you say, or like creating that social you're like knitting, you know, the social connections for then experimenting together, no? Learning about how, you know, if we try out a certain way of farming, or if we try out how to take care of the soils, or maybe we're trying out a recipe that that will promote, let's say, a certain type of plant or of ingredient, or brings back maybe an ingredient that is forgotten, something like that. Also connecting through different generations, no, involving people from different ages, which is also very important, like a transgenerational aspect of these social movements, because what we have seen, at least in the places that we work here in Mexico, is that, you know, practices that were, you know, doing a milpa system, a more autonomous way of agriculture, which is not industrialized, is usually in the memories of people that, you know, in the elder people memories. And the younger generations maybe are not so interested, or maybe are doing other things. So that's also an interesting interesting and very important element, no? That these spaces and these movements and these social connections are also being made through different generations and with different people that have different expertise, no?
So you mentioned milpa, and that's the indigenous traditional sort of agricultural system where there's a mixing of different plant species and both, you know, vegetables, but also other plants to sort of deal with a natural process of pest control. But also there's a process that like supports the different plants that are involved in terms of growth in relation to like rain amounts and water, and the whole milpa history has, you know, been talked about by groups like the Zapatistas as an important example of indigenous land knowledge in Mexico. Can you address and maybe describe for us one of these gatherings that you've worked on through Cocina Colaboratorio recently, just so people could get a picture? Sort of like from the ground in the context that you're working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to start with, I think, well, I've been talking a lot about the kitchen, but basically in Cocina Colaboratorio, we have like three main, let's say, spaces or arenas or places that we gather in. One, and the main one, is the kitchen space. We have, we are slowly building community kitchens, but we also have done mobile kitchens in public spaces. So for example, we gather like, you know, a couple of tables and fires, and then we put them in a public space, and we invite different people to cook. And also depending on maybe the season or the theme that we want to talk about, then we invite the different people and different ingredients. I'm gonna talk a little bit more about that in a bit. But before, I wanted to tell you that the second kind of space that we are gathering at is an experimental plot, which are also like pieces of land where we can test out different ways of farming or restoring the soil, or exactly like, learning again about the milpa system, or agroforestry, you know, and food forests. So that's also an experimental space. And then the third one is what we call the Biocultural Living Archive, which is more kind of an archive / on archive of all the information and all the little, you know, stories that emerge from these exchanges, go to this kind of archive of seeds and stories and recipes that are in a way also a tool to connect different generations, but also to think about the past and then what we want to do in the future, no? So for example, in the kitchen, we have recently, last year, our whole theme was about water and water use. We were, water is a very, very important theme. Last year, I think a lot of Mexicans realized how urgent it is to deal with water and to create models that use less water and to also stand in a reality that in the future we will have less and less water, and how are we going to grow our food with a prospect of drought, for example. So we did a whole series of cooking with drought, which was in a public area, like in a kiosk in a town in Oaxaca, that was at that time suffering through a very heavy drought because in their territory there are these two big reservoirs that were completely dried up. So people were really in shock. Also, corn production was very much affected by the droughts of the last year. There was not enough rain, and therefore a lot of farmers lost their corn production. And maybe, as you know, corn is so basic to Mexican diet. To not have corn in a family system, no, to make tortillas, or it's very critical, no. So we had this whole program of cooking for droughts to understand, you know, what ingredients are more resilient. So we cooked, for example, tortillas with mezquite flour, no, the flower of a mezquite tree. A mezquite tree is a tree that is from arid areas, specifically also grown in Oaxaca. And in the past, people mentioned that when there were, you know, droughts in the past, they would make a flour with the seed of mezquite, which actually is also very nutritious, no? So we made tortillas out of that. We cooked also with agave leaves and agave elements. We discussed also the different implications of, you know, lack of rain to corn. And there were a series of people, no? There were young people from this town, farmers, traditional cooks. There were also some scientists on the board that were dealing with water management and agroecology. And this was also kind of like an artist-led process by us, but also a designer that made, a whole dynamic about how to read corn and water, how to read the effects of drought in corn. So that was really interesting. And basically, through a different series, we cooked together, we talked about the theme, and then we identified through these cooking experiences, you know, okay, what is very important for us to actually deal with, how we're going to do it, how do we learn or unlearn or relearn, you know, practices that will make us more resilient towards this moment of water, but also how can we create a political stand on why is water lacking and, you know, how are we going to defend our water as well?
Thank you, Mariana, for outlining this project. You know, there's a lot of layers to the work that you do, and I hope that people can learn more about it. Thank you so much for the conversation today.
Thank you.
That was a conversation focused on Cocina Colaboratorio, the collective kitchen, a really awesome initiative in Mexico City. You can learn more about them at collaboratorykitchen.com. Of course, we will share the link in our show notes and through our archive page, which is at soundcloud.com/freecityradio. Free City Radio broadcasts weekly on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal on Wednesdays at 11 a.m., on CJLO 1690 a.m., also in Montreal on Wednesdays at 8 a.m., on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg on Tuesdays at 8 a.m., on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston on Wednesdays at 11:30 a.m. CJ